And welcome in to the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay, but someone swapped out my headphones, I just realized. And I was really getting to really like the last headphones. I'm assuming that was Chasing Big Joe, probably.
I don't know.
They were on remote yesterday.
So it wasn't them. Okay. So does that mean that it wasn't their fault that we had a sub with the rotting onions just stinking up the entire joint? So basically, we got to blame either Adam or D-Mace.
Yeah.
Or the night crew.
Could be, okay. Yeah, I mean, I think Penalty Box Radio was in here last night, so it could be Doherty. He was in here doing guest stuff with Sean Smith.
Which one of you had a sub that, you know, if you want to get onions on your sub, that's fine. Eat the onions.
Yeah,
don't throw away. I mean, like, first of all, if you order a sub, eat the sub.
Yeah.
Right? But, like, if you order a sub and then pull the onions off and throw them in a trash in a little small room and then leave it,
you should be able to be bare knuckle boxed.
I agree. So we're going to find out who we need to pummel.
Ian, how are we doing? What's going on?
Doing great, guys. Thanks.
It stinks in here. I'm sorry.
We've already lost Ian. 3 minutes in.
You're insulated from this stank.
No, I can smell it. Definitely
you can smell it too.
It's like, oh, trust me, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It was a little oniony. Whether it was sub or some type of burrito or who knows, but
well, I think we got both. I mean, there is a sub that was in here. I see a burrito bag in there. So I think we've got the double.
It's just, again, like, I mean, I like onions.
Sure.
You know, and sometimes people mistakenly, you know, sometimes whatever, people get like a McDonald's hamburger to take the onions off, you know, whatever. But like, if you order a sub, you didn't mistakenly get onions on the sub.
I
right?
mean, you're watching the person put it on, right?
Like they ask you if you want it on
yeah,
there.
Do right. you want this or do you not?
So then eat the freaking onions. I mean, save us from this misery.
All right, you know what? I'm not going to eat these, and I'm putting them in the smallest room over here. We're gonna enclose them.
Yeah,
where everybody talks.
Here, let's put them like real close to the top too.
Yeah,
so we can make sure they really create a nice aroma.
And then we'll put this burrito in here for Ian.
Double whammy.
Yeah, really good stuff.
Trash night tonight. So
that's good.
I hope they enjoyed their. Yeah, I'm interested. You know what? It's a little bit peculiar. I'm guessing this is Doherty. I'm guessing this is Penalty Box.
I think you might be right.
You know? I mean, yeah. It's the timing of it is, you know, like, I don't think Adam and Deep, they're not eating a meal at 3, right?
I mean, they probably does Adam eat sub sandwiches?
I think like D-May snacks a lot during out the show, but yeah. I don't know about full-on subs.
Yeah, like they leave at 6 and then they go eat dinner. So this is going to be Penalty Box. Alex Doherty, we're after you, buddy.
Yeah. Coming here as a guest appearance and then just trash the place with onions. Ridiculous.
Take that crap to Milwaukee.
Yeah. Go cover the Admirals that way.
Yeah.
Admirals love onions.
Do they?
Yeah, I got a hot dog with some onions in that place one time. Pretty good.
Pretty like good stuff. Like a Chicago-style
yeah.
kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, those are pretty good, man.
Pretty good stuff.
And I hope you ate the onions.
I did.
There you go. If you get them, eat them.
We got a lot going on in the program today. Best and worst things in sports coming up later this hour at 6:45. Darby Hendrickson, Predators assistant coach, will be with us at 7:30. They're taking on Montreal tonight. So, looking forward to that. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports with us at 8 o'clock. And, boy, do we have a lot of things to talk about with Charles Robinson. So, we will get into that a little bit later in the program. A little disappointed in Vrabel, to be honest with you. Not a whole lot of reminiscing going on for Mike Vrabel this week. Not that I necessarily expected that to happen, but he is very much in the mold of he has used this line. I think I've counted now 3 times, Joe. There are things that are interesting, and there are things that are important.
God.
And that is his go-to this week. He is not really biting on the storyline of him coming back to play the Tennessee Titans.
Right, of course, and no one expected him to. I mean, I didn't even – you know, you hope that maybe there'd be a little shot in there, you know, just like a little subtle shot. I didn't detect any.
I mean, he did say that he, talked to Brian Callahan after he got fired. Said he wished him well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought he said, you know, when
it was
you lose
a thoughtful response.
Yeah. When you lose, everybody texts you when you win. They don't text you when you lose, you know, or whatever. He said something like that. He always says that. He hates front runners, which, of course, is what Amy is. I'd love to know the content of that conversation. Hey, Brian, I know your pain, buddy.
Yeah, I feel you, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. You and I both know now what it is to work in that organization.
The grass can be greener somewhere else. Yeah. I would be interested to know what sort of detail was involved in that conversation.
I'm sure there was some stuff that he obviously would never share. But, yeah, pretty boring conversation with him. I mean, the memorabilia, he
stocked the Goodwill on 8th Avenue,
yeah,
apparently.
Yeah, so there you go.
Good to know.
Yes.
So if you're looking for some Titan stuff, go to the Goodwill. Might find some of Rabel's old stuff.
Maybe you can get like a half smoked pack of cigarettes, you know? Half a smoked pack of Marlboro Lights, signed by Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stop. You know, Vrabel needs to make this like a public thing to help public health at large and quit smoking and make it like a thing for charity or something.
I don't think he's going to do that.
Well, I'm not going to stop talking about it, Vrabel. I mean, I liked cigarettes in the 90s too, bro.
How many do you think he rolls through per day?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's like a small habit though.
I mean, you can never do it out on the field, right? Like in the practice field or surely he's not doing it, inside the film room. So you would think there are only limited opportunities. Busy guy, you know?
Yeah, but I've also seen him. I mean, there are in some of those moments, he's got the big wad in the mouth. You know what I mean? So, I mean.
Just tobacco one way or the other.
Tobacco is flowing through him.
It's got to be done one way or the other.
I mean, you know he wants to have one of those, Sunday right around 3 o'clock, step outside and, the satisfying post-crushing the Titan cigarette.
Well, I think that, he may have one this weekend.
He might.
At Nissan Stadium.
He might have a sad cigarette, too. We'll see. I'm feeling it.
Man, if you're a Titans fan that doesn't want Amy to hire Mike McCoy as the interim head coach, you better be pulling hard for Vrabel this week. Because if the first thing he does is come in here and beats Vrabel, Amy may give him the contract already.
I worry about the Vrabel special, though, as far as losing to teams you should beat. Usually that's like an overlook situation.
Sure.
Is there too much hype around this game for the Patriots to make it a, quote, Vrabel special?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. That's fair.
Like, usually it's like, just some afterthought kind of thing, or maybe after another
Wilson
big game.
Jets.
Like,
yeah.
I thought last week versus the Saints
yes.
would have been the Vrabel special. Coming off
that
the
was
win.
Your lock. Yeah. Thank goodness.
Yeah. And
1-5.
And then looking into the...
I can't say anything.
And the Saints, I thought going into the Titans game last week would kind of be the Vrabel special game. But maybe not.
So...
We'll find out, maybe.
Let's push maybe it forward to this week. But yeah, I mean, I think you're right. Like, this is certainly not going to be... But it's also, even though it's all Vrabel... Like, does his team care? Like, does his team give a crap? Like, let's go win one!
No,
I mean, seriously.
I think they do.
Do you?
Yeah. Like, I think that...
Let's go show that owner.
No, I mean, I don't know if they care about, like, the ins and outs of the owner, but I think, like, hey...
I think there was a comment from
Diggs,
rallied, right?
Yeah, like, they fired our guy. We're going to go win it for him. Like, I think there actually is.
Someone should say, well, that's why he's your coach, so shouldn't you be happy?
Yeah, exactly.
If you like him, then you should be happy. I don't know, man. I mean, I'm probably going to look stupid on Monday. But I feel better. I feel like McCoy. I mean, I like what I'm hearing from McCoy, to be honest with you.
I feel better about the Titans' chances to win that Brian Callahan's not there. I will say that. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Yeah.
By the way, do we have that?
I think there's a chance they might look like a better coached outfit on Sunday, you know?
Liam McLeod says, I'd like to see Vrabel hire the Callahans and have them on the sideline. Dude, that'd be awesome. We had two new offensive analysts, guys, Brian and Bill.
Brian, we need you to analyze this, and then we're going to do the opposite
of
what you suggest.
Well, they could give him some secret intel, though.
Yeah.
You know? Give him the playbook.
A lot of secrets out there for the Titans.
Yeah. Hey, they run crappy screens that anybody can blow up. Be ready.
McCoy said he worked with Josh McDaniels. Denver.
That's right.
True. So he knows all about him.
Yeah.
The end zone is a secret for the Titans. No idea how to get there.
Oh, God.
I'm hoping, you know, have they scored a touchdown on the first drive this year? I don't think they've even approached one, have they?
Because that's the thing. Last year, at least a few times, they had, like, the scripted TD drive. I don't think so.
I don't think that's happened.
I don't think so.
That'd be good to see on Sunday. Get out there if your first drive and see if you can find a way to put one in the end zone.
Sure.
Set the tone a little bit.
Well, apparently, you know, some stuff that, you know, in the pre-show meeting, apparently there are some – I know we're going to get, I guess, at some of this later with Cam Ward, but the Skronsky stuff was interesting.
It was. Yeah, we'll get into that.
We got Skronsky lined up, too, later?
A little bit later this hour. I can get Skronsky lined up for us. It was very quick, but very interesting. We will get into that a little bit later this hour. One thing that is interesting about the move that has just been made that could affect the Titans roster here in the next couple of weeks that we will get into, plus some news on that front. We will get into all that coming up next. Take your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Tomorrow from noon to 3, Chase and Big Joe will be broadcasting live from Boston Commons in East Nashville. And we'll have some Preds tickets to give away as well. It's going to be an action-packed sports weekend in Nashville, topped by Mike Vrabel and the Patriots coming to town. So start your weekend off right and hang with Chase and Big Joe tomorrow at Boston Commons in East Nashville. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5 The Game, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. So now that Callahan's out, Joe, what's this going to mean for the trade deadline coming up here in a few weeks on November the 4th? How active will the Titans be? Does the fact that they've already fired the coach change how active they might have been at the trading deadline? Does it make them more likely to be more active at the trade deadline with an interim head coach in there? Where do you come down on how the Callahan news could affect what happens with the roster moving forward?
It's a great question. First of all, shout out to Joe Black on YouTube chat. Win one for the Dipper. Very good. Very good. And yes, also maybe no tobacco is Callie's downfall. I guess I don't know that he doesn't have a tobacco habit.
Yeah, no idea.
It wasn't apparent. It's not like Vrabel just out there smoking cigarettes in people's faces, thinking it's 1983 out here. He's sitting on a plane. This isn't the smoking section. Raise your hand out there if you have ever flown on a plane when there was a smoking section. I remember those days.
God, sounds horrible.
I mean, think about that. It's like, oh, yeah, a few feet over there in this little metal death tube, that's okay, the smoke over there. This is the non-smoky area. Everybody's fine. It's all fine. God, we're so
dumb. There's enough room in here. Yeah. This won't circulate.
No, it'll be fine. This idea, well, Ed brought this idea up on the text line on the fire sale, and apparently Mike Silver said this in another interview, and it is an interesting point. Like, if you're keeping Brian Callahan, like, and you're still like, and it's anything more than, you know, basically like Weekend at Bernie's, like, okay, they've trot his corpse out there until we fire him at the end of the year, which is probably almost what we were at anyway. But still, if you have your head coach in place, how can you justify? Well, good luck. You really got to win this year, and here we're gonna take away the only good football players you have for draft picks for the future for the next coach. Thanks, Callie.
Yeah.
Now he's out, and so I mean, I guess you could be like, well, but Mike McCoy, I want the job. You know, it's a totally different thing, right?
Yes.
Like, there's no hesitation from that standpoint to
not make a move.
No hesitation to make a move from that standpoint. So maybe there's a higher likelihood of someone. Again, the Ridley thing is just, if you want your quarterback to get better and you take him out of the equation, do you feel confident that you have other people who can step in and give him a chance? You know, that's the one that I'm like, just because of the quarterback, I might be hesitant. But 98's the big one. That's the big question. And I think it's a really good debate on both sides of it. It's like, well, at some point, you want to be good at football, and he's your one really good football player. So, yeah, why don't you move that guy and then have none? But also, if someone's going to give you a first-round pick, when he's playing great, but he last few years haven't been great, he's getting older, we got the 3 in front of the 8, you know, and you're going to give him another deal. I mean, it's a really interesting spot with that,
well,
I think.
By the way, they're so bad, and if they trade him, they could – let's say they trade him, pick up a first-round pick for him, which I have not thought is going to be what they get for him, but the way he keeps playing, the more I keep reconsidering that because I think there's a chance. So let's say they do end up getting a first-round pick for him. You've got your first-round pick, an additional first-round pick on top of it, and if you trade away Jeffrey Simmons with this roster, I mean, the number one pick is certainly in play for the Tennessee Titans. So you could then trade back out of the number one pick. That's a whole lot of draft picks you could pick up if you did that.
It is.
We'll see what happens. On that front, you know, there's this mailbag slash conversation that Dan Graziano and Jeremy Fowler do on ESPN. And one of the topics this week basically is like what's going to happen around the firing of Brian Callahan with the Titans. And, you know, it gets into the Vrabel part of this. It gets into a lot of different things. But Fowler brings this up during this piece. Says, quote, "The Titans were already poised to be active at the deadline, and the Callahan firing only expedites that process. They know they need draft capital to rebuild the roster. Edge rusher Arden Key, cornerback Roger McCreary, tight end Chig Okonkwo are among players on my radar. And there could be more, but those are three 2026 free agents that do not appear to be in the long-term vision of the franchise. And that plan right now is to keep Jeffrey Simmons. He is unquestionably the Titans' best player, turns 28 in July, but Tennessee needs to find a way to make the job more attractive from a roster standpoint. Cam Ward, Jeff Simmons are not enough. Team currently has 7 picks in the 2026 draft." So says, plan right now is to keep Jeffrey Simmons, keep an eye on Arden Key, Roger McCreary, and Chig Okonkwo.
Okay. Now, same guys told us, you know, Callahan wasn't going to get fired. So, now, you know, they didn't tell us that, but they guessed that, educated guessed that, and, you know, talked about, you know, didn't want to fire him and stuff like that. So,
also,
the plan right now may not be the plan tomorrow.
Let me also point out that Fowler says that Jeffrey Simmons will turn 28 in July. He turns 29 in July. He is 28 right now. So, I'll point that out.
Thank you. Yeah, actually, that's funny because I thought he turned 30 in July. So there we go. We got it nailed down. We got it right in between there. Yeah, I can see. First of all, if you're the Tennessee Titans, you're not putting out there. The plan is to trade him.
Right.
You want the price to be driven. You want to be you want to be moved off of your strong stance that you're not trading him. You want to be blown away with an offer. So I mean, I just don't put much stock into the plan is not to trade him right now. Let's see if someone calls them and makes them an offer they can't refuse, right? That's what it – I mean, that's – then we'll see. The plan, again, that's like John Robinson. I don't foresee – or whatever he said. I don't foresee us trading A.J. Brown or whatever he said in 2 days before he traded A.J. Brown, you know? But it's a really – it's – to me, I just – you know, those other guys you mentioned, and what are you going to get for Chig? What are you going to get for
Arden Key?
Yeah, Arden Key.
Get like, you know.
Yeah, 6?
Some expired pecans? I don't know.
Some sub onions?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Chig's young. I mean, McCreary's, you know.
That's the one that I'm wondering about. Like, okay,
but again, don't you also need any corners moving forward?
That's the thing. Like if you don't sign McCreary, and you trade him away. You've already traded Brownlee away. You've got Snead under contract next year. Do they want Legarius Snead back on this team next year when you can get out of the money after this year? Probably not. So are you just – you're just totally restarting at corner with every other move that you've got to make with this roster?
But, the thing that, with that is it's I guess you move him or you need to extend him.
Yeah.
Which I think they should. Unless they, you know, I don't know. I feel like he's not having a great year. He's made some mistakes that have surprised me this year. But still, yeah. I mean, I'm watching Jalen Armour Davis the other day. I'm like, that's not a guy you want on the field too much.
Well, it takes him a while to get going. But then once he gets going, he's fine. Third quarter rolls around. After he's given up 150 yards passing, he's good.
Yeah, good to know.
Good to see.
Yeah, if you have any – decent young players. Like, you know, with Chig, it's, you know, I think Chig's had a pretty good year. I mean, like, he's made some plays for an offense that has made, like, 9 plays all year. He's made, like, 3 of them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's to me, it's like, I don't think you're going to get much for him. He is young. But again, it's like that position. You're also you have Helm and you have him. To me, it's like it's about the, you know, the big payoff, the big haul coming back, and it's just 98 is, you know, that's what it's about. You know, that's what the trading deadline. And again, maybe Ridley, but I just have my doubts that they're going to want to hamstring the QB any more than he already is.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the quarterback, some interesting comments from him yesterday in the aftermath of the firing of Brian Callahan. We will get into that. Coming up next, the best and worst things in sports at 645. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. Got the best and worst things in sports coming up at 645. We'll take your best things, your worst things. On the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, that Joe Rex wrote, is in charge of. Keep them coming.
It's really unfair, man. We're missing so many good texts out there. I apologize to those of you who I've missed. I read every third one, so it's kind of like the lottery.
That's pretty good. Pretty good percentage.
It's actually not bad. It's probably about one every six.
Pretty good percentage. Cam Ward addressed the media yesterday for the first time since Brian Callahan was fired. And, you know, talked about a lot of different things on the Callahan front. Said, you know, personally feels bad for him and all those things. You know, the day-to-day operations this week don't change all that much because, I mean, you're trying to get ready for a football game. So we all understand that. And then at one point later in his press conference, Cam Ward was asked about, you know, what he's looking for in the next head coach. And I look, maybe this is me reading way too much into something. We'll find out. I'll get your thoughts on it. But I found his response.
Don't be stilly.
Interesting. Here's what Cam Ward had to say when asked about that.
Cam, what qualities would you prefer?
What would I prefer to head coach? Somebody who can really do everything from top to bottom, and that's both sides of the ball, offense, defense. They know the system in and out. And I think the biggest thing is how is the coach going to be with the players? Like, how is he going to, you know, camaraderie the locker room? You have all different types of personalities in our locker room. And, you know, whoever we get, I know they'll be the right hire. But that's not really my main focus right now. I'm with Coach McCoy right now. We're going to try to win some games.
So that's Cam Ward yesterday. Cam, what would you like to see in the next head coach? Somebody who can do everything from top to bottom. Somebody who might be able to handle calling plays and being a head coach at the same time. That'd be nice.
That's kind of what my takeaway was from. Which would be different than, I don't know, no one in particular. Did he just use comrade
as
a verb?
I've never heard that before. I love it.
Let's comrade this place up.
He must be able to comrade the team.
I like that. Yeah.
You can tell me if I'm reading way too much into it. It's fine.
I mean,
I just thought it was funny. He's like, the first thing he said was, yeah, I'd like for the coach to be able to know how to do everything. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, like, I don't think it was an intentional shot, but I think that there's probably something to that, right? I mean, that's obviously different than, like the coach that they've had.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think you may be onto something there.
I would like for the coach to be able to call a play and also still know what the rule is. That's my requirement for the next head coach.
Coach who knows some of the names of the guys on the defensive side of the ball would be good. But of course, it's like, I know we're going to get the right hire because, you know, of course, that's what that's what you're going to say. And but hey, he's with Coach McCoy now. You know,
he is
trying to. It's what you got to do. That's all you can do. We talked earlier before all this. It's like, you know, if Brian Callahan comes, you know, is in peril. You know, like, does Cam Ward, you know, fight for him or speak on his behalf or anything like that, you know? I mean, I never detected it. Like, that I do think is interesting, and it's a little bit, you know, eyebrow raiser. I don't think he ever said anything to that effect before.
Not that I could tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it's also, like, obviously, well, I shouldn't say obviously, but it's like I don't think he, you know, threw himself on the mat to try to, you know, I mean, it's not his job. He's swimming and trying to be a rookie quarterback in the NFL, but it's also just such a terrible, you know, it really is just a bad situation. As you kind of predicted back when, you know, you make the GM change and you don't make the coach change, for it to crumble this quickly, for this rookie QB really is pretty amazing when you think about it.
It's stunning things have gone this poorly for the Titans. You know, they're typically really good at handling stuff like this, you know?
Yes, yes.
It's kind of amazing it played out that way. I mean, it was the first day yesterday that we saw the reaction from the locker room. Peter Skoronski with some interesting things to say yesterday. Here's what Peter Skoronski had to say when asked by PK about the firing of Callahan.
Did you think it was time for a change? Do you think a change is what this team needed?
I'm not really the decision maker here, so I think I'm just trying to do my job and do the best I can. I will say, obviously, things were not working for us offensively, and so I think that change is not a bad thing with that because obviously things weren't working well. So whoever that is, I don't know. I don't pay to do that. But, you know, obviously 1-5, not performing well offensively. I think that, you know, I think it's valid to say in general that we need to change things up a little bit, which is not fair.
Well, that was Skoronski yesterday. You know, I will say, offensively, not very good. So he's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
Bill Callahan, I want you to take Olga, I want you to take Bertha, and I want you to take them the hell away from me, says Peter Skoronski. Do the Titans get to keep those?
I think Terry McCormick said that they were out there yesterday.
Olga and Bertha were out there?
I think so.
So that's nice. Bill left them behind.
I guess, is he going to, like, ship those away? Yeah, I mean, Terry McCormick yesterday at 3:07 p.m. can confirm that Olga and Bertha were on the practice field today.
I'm sure all those linemen were like, oh, no. Are you serious?
I thought this was gone.
Olga and Bertha haven't helped that much, no. I will say.
Not very hasn't translated very well yet.
But, yeah, that's Peter Skoronski would be the last guy that I would expect to, you know, have any opinionated thing to say, but, yeah.
Well, I just found the way he phrased
it. He's not wrong.
It was pretty funny. Like,
offense pretty bad.
You know, it's really not my job to, you know, make decisions here for the Titans. I will say our offense has been bad. Our offense has not been very good.
I have noticed our offense is buns. So that is one thing to keep in mind here.
So we'll see how the Titans respond this week. I mean,
are you happy about the change, Peter?
Well, Paul, I will say our offense, I've noticed when watching film, does not seem to score the point or any points or move the ball very often. So that part I have noticed.
So you draw your own conclusions.
Man, the more we get closer to this game, you're going to end up talking me into Mike McCoy going out there and just laying the old cold shoulder to Vrabel coming up on Sunday.
I don't know why I would possibly think that, you know. Like, how could I possibly – I mean, like last week, by the way, you know, in case you get any Homer accusations, you guys will be like, oh, yeah, the Titans will be the Reds. Like, Raiders.
Yeah.
That's the reason that I went 2-4 while you went 1-5.
Yeah, great week for us last week.
So I'm not a Homer, but I don't know, man. I've got a feeling.
Well, I will say.
I got a feeling.
Like, I think some of the conversation the other way has gone way too far. Like, I think that the Patriots are better and they're going to come in here. And by the time
they're going to crush them, even
the crushing stuff I could buy because the Titans aren't very good. Like, it's not that hard to crush the Titans.
Right.
But, like, some people are acting like, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs are rolling in here and it's, the, you know, the Patriots are still a flawed football team.
I mean,
like, they're off to a good start. And I think Vrabel's a good coach. And I think Drake May is going to end up being really good. But, like, right now, this is not like this is the best team in the NFL walking in here.
Carson's like, they're going to leave blood on the field. Calm down, dude. It's not Gladiator. Yeah, I agree. It is. It's going a little far the other way. And maybe some Tennessee Titans have heard that. Maybe Mike McCoy is taking notes and sharing it with his team.
And I know that this football team.
Believe. This pretty good team, because the guys in this room are really good.
That's when we should have known. They're in big trouble. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Mark in Nashville to the program. Mark, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Joe, I'm laughing at you. Joe, you okay this morning, man? Well, you on the roll this morning, Joe. What's up, Robbie?
But what's up?
We on the roll this morning, Joe.
Am I okay? Probably not.
Yeah, you okay? Joe, I called in yesterday and said that Patriots will come in and probably steamroll the Titans. I believe the Titans, you know, anytime you get an interim coach, they tend to play a little harder. But, I mean, it's not going to really matter. And, you know, I got to thinking about that last night. I think, you know, the Titans let the wrong coach lead the building, Joe. And Vrabel's got a hell of a situation there, man. He's got him a franchise guy. They went in Buffalo the other week and won. And Drake May. Josh McDaniels is doing a great job with him. They're a young team. They're only going to get better. They could possibly get into a wild card this year and stuff. So you got to kind of give them some credit, man. Vrabel's done one heck of a job. He's in a way better situation than he was when he was down here in Nashville. And I was listening to those comments from Cam and Staronsky. It sounds like they were kind of taking shots at Callahan, especially Staronsky. We need somebody to come in here who knows how to call plays, who's used to calling plays, who knows how to really run a good offense, because we do have a bad offense. That's what I gathered from that. And, I mean, I feel bad for Callahan, man, but, I mean, I don't know what Mike McCoy is going to do. He's ex-coach with the Chargers, but they really got a lot they got to really do to change the outlook for this team. But, hey, y'all want that – I want to get in on that bet, Robbie and Joe.
Okay.
I'm going to go like the Dukes. I'm going to go like Mortimer and them and trading plates at the Dukes. I'm betting $1. I'm betting $1 that Amy doesn't show up in this game. Okay. I don't think she really wants to face Vrabel and see the Patriots come here and do what they're going to do Sunday, whether it works out or not. I don't think she's going to show up. She's probably going to stay in Houston. But, hey, man, y'all have a good day and good weekend coming up. And we'll see y'all later.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate the call.
You're on Team Stilly.
See you, Joe.
Greg, congrats for being on Team Stilly.
That's a scary place to
be. Amy's not going to not show up.
Will we know? Like, what? Will somebody find her and take a picture?
Yeah,
like, will the broadcast be on her the whole time? Like, every time the Patriots score a touchdown, they just cut to Amy?
Oh, if there's any way, they will. Yeah, I would think they would. But, yeah, she'll be on the field, like, before the game.
Okay.
Like, this would be –
Will there be an interaction?
Terrible look.
Between Amy and
Vrabel? I would
Vrabel?
Not be surprised at all.
Okay.
If Vrabel comes over, hey, a little handshake and walks away. Yep. That'd be my guess.
All right.
Vrabel, Vrabel goes into practice mode. You know, when he wants players to hit him, knock the tar out of my lungs. He tries to block Amy out there or something.
Well, the best and worst things in sports coming up next. Take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles, yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week, the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, well, my best, as painful as it is, my best is the deciding game of the Mariners-Tigers series. It ripped my heart out, and it was absolute hours after the game was supposed to be over of just nail-biting intensity. But I gotta say, it is hard to beat like a postseason baseball game with some of the pitcher batter confrontations and situations. It was an incredible baseball game. And you know what? As it's all over, I have appreciation that my Tigers are at least relevant. I can have perspective on it. So even though it was a bad thing, that's my best. That game was an all-timer. My worst, sorry guys, you guys let me go first. The Tennessee Titans. How about that for an original answer? And I don't have anything to add. Just the Tennessee Titans. That's my worst.
This is a low T alert.
Ian Safar. Your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Playoff baseball was up there. It's just like a best, you know. The baseball and hockey, the way they go next level in the postseason as far as just the intensity.
Yes.
Every pitch, next level. It's fun.
Although, a great debate, like the every pitch extra innings postseason baseball game, and or like you like overtime hockey.
Yeah,
like, both of them are just like you cannot turn away. You can't go to the bathroom.
Yeah, so that's fun. Hockey is back. Best, just bring it on. A week of hockey. That's just been fun. Indiana win over Oregon.
Yes.
A couple of smorgasbord here that I had written down. They looked pretty good. That was an impressive win. Worst, what about this Anthony Richardson injury to IR?
What in the world?
Did you read about how that happened?
Yeah.
It was a stretch band.
He's doing the
pre-game
band.
Stretch band incident where I guess the machine he was using malfunctioned or there was a breakage. Piece of the machine came back, hit him in the face, fractured orbital.
Yeah.
Out for at least... Put him on IR.
Had to go to the hospital. Had to go to the hospital after pre-game warm-up.
Can't catch a break.
Tough year for this kid.
So, you know, obviously it hasn't worked out on the field, but you never like to see that. So I'll throw that in there as another freak thing to add to Anthony Richardson as a worst.
That's like when, Tyrod Taylor?
I know, I thought about the same thing, yeah.
Got like punctured by his own. Like, yeah.
Got trainer. Punctured by the doctor.
Just throwing needles at him. Like, yeah.
Good grief. What's going on out there? My best thing in sports, the Vanderbilt Commodores are favored against the LSU Tigers at home this weekend. 2.5-point favorites for Vanderbilt. Joe, you know, we had not looked at this line. And I was asking you on Monday. I was like, what do you think the line is between Vanderbilt and LSU? Let's pull it up. And my guess was going to be like LSU by like 4.5 or something like that. And then to open it up and see that Vanderbilt's a 2.5-point favorite. How about that?
How about
that? Yeah, that on your bingo card heading into the year, Vanderbilt favored at home against LSU.
No, and if someone told me that, I'd be like, oh, so LSU's having a completely disastrous season, not ranked in the top 10.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Very interesting. Wild. Very interesting. My worst thing in sports, did you see – the field conditions for the Pittsburgh Steelers this past weekend?
So I've seen that there's been some controversy about this. So I haven't actually seen it.
It was apparently brutal, and you can see like there are clips of like just grass getting churned up in the middle of the game. And apparently, like in the immediate aftermath of the game, they just ripped the whole field up. Like, they just ripped it all up, and they're putting, you know, new grass in there. But it was bad to the point where, you know, Cam Hayward was just irate about it. After the game, it was like, you know, I love grass fields, but if it's going to be like this, just make the switch. Like, just go ahead and switch it to something else. They had, you know, a special teamer get hurt to a non-contact knee injury, and then just not a good deal in Pittsburgh over the weekend. The
Tennessee Titans love this story.
They do.
See?
Amy forwards it to Cam.
Cam, did you see this here? Grass not good. Grass not good out there.
Oh, God.
They're playing a big mud bowl over there.
Just saying.
Thank you.
There were times.
I'm glad I could comrade.
When the Titans had the old field, there were certain times in the season where it looked a little rough.
Late November, early December, it got rough with the grass.
I mean, I don't know. I can't remember the footing being especially bad, but the optics of it didn't always look great.
It certainly looked bad, yes.
But doesn't that kind of look like football, too? It's like, oh, we're late in the year. Field's worn down a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's get out there.
As long as it doesn't go too far, to where it's mud.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, look, this is a, when you really think about it, I know we've been, you know, distracted by the Titans all week, and we'll see how that goes for them on Sunday. It really is an awesome weekend of football around here. Vanderbilt, LSU at home, and we're going to get into all this tomorrow in our picks. Alabama, Tennessee, and what that's going to look like at Tuscaloosa. Vrabel coming in here. It's a pretty electric week of football around here.
Yeah, I mean, probably the most interesting of all three combined, right? And possibly even there was another really good weekend with the two, with Vandy and Tennessee. But I mean, this is better. I mean, this is amazing. Got some quick with Matthew from Jolton. Best thing to start the Preds and Soros are on. Not having listened to Brian Callahan press conference anymore. Worst thing is Vrabel's coming back to stomp a mud hole. In the Titans. Megan says the best thing in sports is how PK says ruin. Rune!
Yeah.
I've heard him say it a few times recently and it's a label. Rune.
Houston? Houston ruins it.
Huge! Huge ruin! Rune?
I gotta hear him say it. That's very interesting. Bass is, again, got Preds' unexpected good start. Worst, no recognition from a Nashville morning sports station. Oh, my goodness. I walked right into that one. We've mentioned the – we got Darby Henderson coming up.
We've had the head coach
already. It's been a little bit of a week.
I don't know if you guys have noticed.
Football front.
Head coach has been fired by the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
There are also 78 games remaining in hockey.
No, there were people.
The Predators are off to a nice start. They're 2-1-1. I think some people are acting like they're like undefeated, running away from everybody out there. They're off to a decent – yeah, they're off to a better start than completely horrible from last year.
Well, even on that day, the day of the firing, people were like, oh, yeah, I got fired, blah, blah, blah. Let's talk about the Preds. Like, look, I know some people, like, they just are Preds fans and they're not Titans fans or whatever. Just hockey fans, not football fans. Like, you're not going to win on the day that the football coach is fired. You know, we'll talk plenty of Preds.
We have talked more Preds than anybody in the city. So
yeah.
We will do it.
Yes.
I promise.
David Arkansas says, my worst in sports is
God.
Yeah, I know. Being a Razorback and Titans fan, he says, but the best that they both fired their head coaches. So there you go. Best, Callahan getting fired. Worst, Lions Chief game with the refs. What are you, a Lions fan? Oh, I know. The Chiefs did not have a penalty. So, you know, it must be a conspiracy. I mean, they kicked the Lions' ass, okay? Indiana beating Oregon was not good. Best, Scataboo. Okay. Worst is the refs cheating for the Chiefs again. Oh, my God. Is
there
this what we're doing here?
Tell them to quit
cheating. I mean, zero penalties is pretty bad, I will say.
Ed says, best thing is PK, where's Amy? The worst thing is Brinker's response. What do you mean? Where is Amy Adams struck at this moment?
And I think that Chad Brinker spoke out of turn.
Do you?
Well, she's in her home. How do you actually know
that's
this?
That's a good point.
Do you have her on a phone tracker? Like, I track my kids on a phone tracker. Like, I'd be very careful about answering. She may, again,
Damian,
she could have been
Life
anywhere. She could have been anywhere, anywhere in the city of Houston.
She's at her home.
Yeah.
As PK pointed out, didn't necessarily have to mean Houston. Could have meant here. She's got multiple homes.
Right. What does that mean? Matt Nashville, my new favorite listener, says the best in sports is Joe's imitation of Borgonzi. Thank you.
It's pretty good.
Thank you.
At quarterback.
I did not want to take the quarterback. You made me take the quarterback.
We will get into the third Saturday in October. Tennessee taking on Alabama this weekend. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.